a beacon to our children to find voices of their own. In this world we walk together and we lead each other home.
Hi everybody, welcome back to Women's Fire. I'm your host, Michelle Thomas. And today is Easter, so happy Easter to everyone who celebrates. And if you don't, happy Sunday. Hopefully the weather's really nice wherever you are, and very springy. All right, I have a really fun guest today. I have Dr. Rebecca Gustafson. She is a naturopathic doctor and owns Wild Rose Natural Medicine here in Viroqua, Wisconsin on Main Street. And I reached out to her a few months ago. You'll hear this in the interview, but actually it wasn't a few months ago. I guess it was in February. And she was like, yes, I definitely want to do that. And also, like, life has been crazy and I'm taking this month to just kind of relax and reset my nervous system and don't want to, you know, overschedule myself. So how about we check back in March? And I love that, right? Let's normalize literally taking a month to just reset and come back to ourselves and know that these fun opportunities and things to do will be out there when we're done. This was a really fun conversation, and Dr. Gustafson talked so clearly and concisely for those of us who are not quite sure what makes one a naturopathic doctor and how that is different from like an herbalist or a medical doctor, things like that. And we just had a nice conversation about, what her personal journey of that, but also naturopathic care in general. And we're so lucky to have her right here in our town for those of you who are local. So please enjoy this chat with Dr. Rebecca Gustafson. Good morning, Dr. Gustafson.
Hi, good
Thanks
morning.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, great. I know when I first contacted you, I just loved it. I mean, I get this from women, which I love is like becoming a thing. And you were like, I'm taking a little time because it was like, I think I contacted you in February and you were like,
yeah,
maybe next month. And then It's taken us a while to get together. But anyway, I love boundaries. I love balanced life and not like, oh, what else can I fit in or whatever. So anyway, it's taken several weeks to make this happen, but thanks for coming in.
I'm very happy to be here. I'm looking forward to just having a chat. And something we'll probably talk about more is finding that balance and how to take care of yourself, particularly if you have a job or work in an area where you're taking care of others.
Yes. I'm going to start with that only because I literally was just thinking that. I came from a meeting this morning at a little shop in town and at Magpie, and it was about the pentathlon for my son's pentathlon year at the school. And I was like, oh, okay, now I'm like shifting modes into my podcast mode. So I went right from there to here. And then I was like, how many times do I do this? Because I'm a therapist. I'm a therapist. I do that twice a week. And I was like, what am I like shifting? What modes am I shifting into?
Yeah.
Like so many times in a day, in a week, you know, that I'm like, am I this? Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes transitions can be hard.
Yeah.
Like just resetting yourself and being like, how do I actually get to be here where I am now and get myself in a place that you want to be to show up for that in the way you want to? As a therapist, I'm sure you're very practiced and tried and true in this.
Well, I guess what's interesting is you just have to make that intent, but also I'm not as good. Honestly, I'm probably worse at it going home. Because like once I'm in my office and I'm sitting down with a client or I'm like in that zone, that environment. But when I'm at home, I'm like work, school stuff, podcast stuff. Like it's hard to just be home, you know, right? And be like, oh, kids and, you know, whatever. So
Yep. I don't know if this resonates with you as well, but I am a multi-hobbyist and I love personal projects, sewing, crafting, etc. But I've taken on my profession and my shop with the same sort of like zest and zeal or something that I would take on like a very exciting project or craft, yeah. where I get like super, super excited, super wrapped into it. But then sometimes it's like when that's wrapped in with up in your profession, like I don't know if we haven't really talked about it, but I have a little shop on Main Street in Viroqua.
We'll get to that for sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I want it to feel a certain way and look a certain way and kind of like evoke a certain sense. I can think about that. Oh, I could think about that all day.
Yeah.
And I love it, but it's like sometimes I want to be on another mode. I want to be relaxed in the home, and I want to be thinking about my home life or really kind of sinking into the space of a different dynamic. And so it is a skill set and something we're constantly practicing in.
Totally. All right, so let's get to all the things. where are you from?
I'm from south of Madison,
okay.
Monticello, Wisconsin. It's by New Glarus, if people know that.
I do.
My family is traditional Alpine cheesemakers.
Okay.
So my dad's a grandmaster cheesemaker, and I grew up helping out in the cheese factory from time to time. And, you know, a lot of that, like, Swiss, southern Wisconsin culture. Played accordion in a 100 accordion choir for the 100th anniversary of Cheese Days a few years back. That was fun. So very Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But I haven't lived in Wisconsin for over a decade, and I just moved back this past year and started my business here. So I'm so happy to be back.
Oh, good. Okay. What took you out? What made you decide to leave for a while?
I first moved to Minneapolis because I just basically wanted to see more of the world. I had gone to college in Oshkosh and was like, I want to study culture and music and art. And I just felt like I couldn't see enough. I didn't have a broad enough vantage point where I was.
Yes, I'm from that side of the state.
Oh.
I'm from Green Lake.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh,
yeah. Uh-huh. So, yes, not so super culturally diverse.
Yeah, I just wanted more.
Yeah,
I just wanted more. So I moved to Minneapolis, and I worked at collectively run cafes and, you know, made weirdo art. And that was all wonderful. And I got a broader vantage point from there. But I also had a pretty humbling experience of being quite ill in my 20s and a lot of chronic health issues and being both, you know, in the low-income punk house scene whatever, you know, working at cafes and stuff and trying to live in a city and also have both the time and finances and ability to be able to take care of myself and heal from complex health issues was a real eye-opener for me. And it kind of gave me the first little sparks of what would later become the values that drove me into my profession.
Yeah. So when did you, I guess, decide to study like medicine and medicinal?
Yeah, so I was dabbling in herbalism, dabbling in nutrition, these sorts of like holistic health world, as a person trying to take care of myself. And so I really respect the lay herbalist's perspective of just like meeting your community's need where it's at. That was wonderful. But I didn't actually find that I could just whip up the nuance of care that I needed for myself.
Mm.
I was trying to like provide myself with a type of care that I actually needed an expert for. I had lots of MDs, and that was great, but sometimes they have nothing or surgery, and that doesn't really fill the middle space for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I would find herbalists who were wonderful, and sometimes I needed for someone to have a more scientific background as well. I needed someone who was multilingual in Western medicine and natural medicine, herbalism, and holistic health. And I really couldn't find it until I found a nurse who was also an herbalist. And that was very helpful for me. And I decided to level up as I got better with her care. I got the Pell Grants that are so helpful for people going back to college. I started from scratch at the technical school in Minneapolis, just taking herbalism classes, decided maybe I wanted to level up even further. And the more I learned, the more I learned I knew nothing. And I thought, oh, shoot. I have so much more to learn than I could have imagined.
Yeah. What is that gap? Because I know, well, and the truth is, like, you're saying words that I've heard, but I also don't know, like, the context or the ball, or is it a spectrum or whatever of, like, what herbalism is, what botanicals are, what
herbal medicine. I was using herbal teas, which we love, you know, I was working in a very safe and accessible point to kind of step into herbalism. And as I started to understand some of these actions, like, what is a nervine? What is a lymphagogue? You know, I start learning these terms and being like, but I don't understand what the lymphatic system does.
Right.
You know, like, oh, this is a nervine. Does that mean it's for, like, frayed nerves, or is this for, like, nerve damage? You know?
Right.
Like, what do these herbs mean, and what are the nuances? I also was learning that I had a very, like, hodgepodge understanding of herbalism where, you know, think of Ayurveda or East Asian medicine or these lineages of medicine that include herbal medicine as part of an entire worldview. Like, just this sort of, like, pick and choose dabbling that I was doing was leaving a lot behind. And I knew I was missing something. I was missing a philosophical underpinning. And I was missing the breadth of knowledge in anatomy and physiology that could help me to practice safely.
Right.
I didn't understand drug interactions. And how could I, right? You know, these aren't things that everybody, like, needs to know when you're kind of doing an entry point into herbal teas. But I wanted to level up, and I realized that if I wanted to practice safely, I needed to know more. And from my own complex health history, I knew the importance of a nuanced understanding.
Yeah. So what is that step? I mean, obviously in the Viroqua area there, I mean, you can grow your own medicinal plants, you
love
know,
it.
If you want,
yep.
right? You can make your own tea blends.
Yeah.
But right, it's, like you said, leveling up. And so where does the science start coming in?
Yeah.
The education, the degrees?
Yes, totally. So there's a lot of paths to working with plants. And so I want to make sure that I'm not prioritizing my path over other people's paths. For some people, it becomes a spiritual path, and they learn about the spiritual and energetic lineages of the herbs and connect with them in that way. For some people, it becomes apprenticeships and shadowing, and you start working with clinical herbalists. And this is where you start to learn some of the safer ways to work with herbs, what to do about low-dose herbs and how to use them. In each of these paths, you learn what is safe and what are the boundaries for kind of leveling up with someone you're working with. For me, I just rode the wave to the tippy top for me. I did a undergrad degree at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities that was a pre-med with a focus in holistic health and healing. And I studied healing practices from around the world by meeting with people who are of those lineages and work in those practices and just get, you know, a little glimpse of what it's like from their perspective. I'm very thankful for those experiences. And then I went to Bastyr University outside of Seattle. It is where I got my naturopathic doctorate.
Okay. And so when you're choosing the natural, I guess what I'm particularly curious about is it's the combination, it's not the eschewing of Western medicine.
No,
right?
Not at all.
It's complementary?
Yeah,
or how
so I was trained
that?
Actually to the level of primary care doctor. So in the state, so naturopathic licensure varies by state because it is a profession that was basically almost lost and has had to rebuild its infrastructure.
I definitely want to talk about that.
Yes. So okay. Wisconsin approved naturopathic licenses last year, and they're building up the infrastructure right now to start licensing naturopathic doctors in the state, which will give us a nice defined scope and broader ability to access and work with patients.
Right.
But in Washington State, where I got my education, there's a very wide scope of practice, which is why we're primary care doctors. And I specifically chose my education because I trust Bastyr as an institution, but also I wanted to get my doctorate in a state where there was a wide scope so that I could be trained to the highest degree and have patient experience in the highest degree. Mm-hmm. So in the kind of integrated clinic, Bastyr Center for Natural Health, where I did my clinicals, we are seeing people of all different economic levels, diverse patients with diverse needs, and we're doing everything from physical exams, like you need an annual or maybe some screening examinations, to referring out for specialty conditions, ordering x-rays, whatever's needed.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how we can practice in Wisconsin at this time because of our need for licensure, which will be coming shortly.
Yeah. So in that case, it was like you would work in a medical clinic, but we as had our a specialization.
Own clinic. Okay. Well, we had our own clinic through the institution, through my school.
Gotcha.
And my school also has, Bastyr University has really great programs in dietetics.
Mm.
I don't know if they still have the Ayurveda program. They had a really great Ayurvedic program and a lot of East Asian medicine, acupuncture, East Asian botanicals. So they have a few different programs there that we all had our departments in this clinic, and people would come there to use the different resources. In Washington, we also can do more hands-on care, so we're trained to do HVLA adjustments, which are similar to some like chiropractic adjustments. So we'd have a physical medicine department where we're doing adjustments if needed through HVLA. We're doing hyperthermic baths, you know, peat baths. Constitutional hydrotherapy, which is you're using hot and cold water on hot and cold towels over someone's abdomen with a device that increases circulation in the abdominal organs. Really interesting stuff, and not all of this can be done in Wisconsin at this mm-hmm. time, but it gave me a really broad, well-rounded education, both in holistic health, our modalities that we can use as naturopathic doctors, and also in general primary care medicine.
Yeah. So my introduction to just natural modalities, let's say, mm-hmm. was when I was pregnant with my first child. Mm-hmm. And just really, it was more of an emotional thing. I'm like, I don't like going to this clinic and not knowing who I'm going to see. No one's even asked me how I feel about being pregnant.
Oh,
for all I know, like whatever. It just felt really not personal.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't like the feeling that like I'm going to go to the hospital and like I already had my hospital picked out. I knew I wanted a water birth. But like the more mm-hmm. I was just learning about it, I was like, I feel like this is not going to be my decision. Like somehow I'm going to get taken down the
path. Like a loss of autonomy.
Yes. And so I sought out other options, found a home birth midwife that I just like went to a consultation with. And I'm like, I just have to know what my options are.
Yeah.
And immediately, emotionally, I was like, yes, this is what I want. We met for an hour. We talked about all the things. It was just her in like an office. And I was like, if my only option to feel like I am only getting intervention that's absolutely necessary, that I can birth how I want to birth, is to have it at home, I guess that's how I'm going to have to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and now that was 16 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's changed a whole lot. You know, 16 years ago, this was in Minnesota. There were no freestanding birth centers. Now there's a whole bunch.
Yeah.
So it like moves kind of quickly. But anyway, obviously, even since then, I have four children now.
Oh, yeah.
And just know more and more about like birth community and stuff like that. So I through that became aware of like, oh, there was this way that women were giving birth forever.
Yeah.
And then it became medicalized and kind of like the pendulum really swung in that direction. And now it's kind of finding a middle ground or something. And I guess I'm wondering and assuming if that's like a similar trajectory.
Yeah.
Naturopathic medicine.
Yeah. For naturopathic medicine, there is some like analogy to that for sure. And I really want to kind of focus or make sure we note, it doesn't really feel like the pendulum is swinging back in an understanding of like what is the right or wrong way to do things, but it's swinging back towards autonomy. Mm-hmm. It's swinging back towards people being able to decide what they want for themselves and then finding practitioners who can provide that with safety. And so one thing that's really important is making sure, you know, I love in practice in a shared decision-making model. Medicine shouldn't be something that's like done to you. It's something that you're working to find something, you know, you want to be able to advocate for yourself.
Right.
And so in naturopathic medicine, I've got all this education. I feel like I can speak like both languages or whatever, however you want to conceptualize that. But I want to make sure that, one, I'm hearing what the person in front of me is saying. I'm actively taking the time to listen. How many doctors don't have the time for that?
Right.
So after taking the time to hear what someone wants, how can I support them in their goals? And for some people, that looks like a really holistic type of plan as people would conceptualize that. You know, we're talking herbs and hot and cold baths and, you know, maybe dry skin brushing and maybe, you know, these really tried and true old-timey grandma medicine. And not, I love that sort of stuff, right? Like, I love it. And for some people, that ends up being like making a decision together that they're going to give statins another try so they don't, you know, have cardiovascular health implications. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it looks like Western medicine.
Right.
But it's not about the correctness of the choice. It's about finding what each person really needs.
Yeah.
And helping to meet it.
So that too, yeah, to one thing I wanted to mention that I didn't was that my midwife that I found was a naturopathic doctor.
Cool.
Like that was her primary,
you know, cool.
So actually, yeah, it's crazy. Hopefully the statute of limitations has like run out on this, but I actually somehow insurance paid for my home birth.
Amazing.
I don't know if it's because she was like a doctor or you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like I was
okay,
I'm just
I have
not
no
even
idea
question.
How that happened. I'm just going
to
say bless
like,
it.
Write it in. And I was like, I'm just going to be very thankful for that.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, but also my bigger thing was obviously I did not go into it thinking, like, I don't want any medical intervention.
Yeah.
It was that I don't want any medical intervention unless it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
And I want to trust my care provider to know that this is being suggested because it's absolutely necessary.
In
and
part,
I feel like that was the trust
issue. And part of that
issue.
Is being heard,
yes.
Being actually heard by your care provider,
right.
Someone who can hear what you want and repeat back to you. And you're like, okay, you got it. Internalized it.
Well, and who also know the options that aren't just, oh, you're having this.
Yeah.
here's the list of things we can do, and they're all in this like medical realm versus the
absolutely.
Like I actually had to induce all three out of my four labors with castor oil in some form of concoction, and we tried like herbs and stuff like that. But
yeah,
that was my thing, and obviously I know that that can be done with Pitocin in a hospital. That wasn't my choice, but it worked.
Yeah.
Every time, and it was like this more natural approach with that, which I appreciated someone who knew what all of the options were.
And that's something that I encounter a lot in my practice is there's so many things. So right now, naturopathic doctors don't have prescriptive rights in the state of Wisconsin, and even after our licensure comes through, we still won't.
Mm.
That will change eventually, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting about that is I get so many people that I meet with who it's either when they've gone to Western practitioners, it's often like a very minimal lifestyle management advice, very general, so not tailored to them. or this giant chasm, and at the other side is pharmaceutical interventions that they, you know, maybe aren't there yet. It's not to say there's anything wrong with those. They just might not be in that place where they need those, but there's almost like they're really struggling to find like what's in between. And when I get those people coming into my office, I'm like, yes, 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 because I know how much there is that isn't like some empty cavern that right. you have to cross. It's like a lush valley of options. Mm. There's so much there. And it's the stuff that I love to work with most. I just like, oh, I like love it.
Yeah. Great. That's awesome. So I wrote down history because you kind of brought that up. And I was curious just how much of this is like relearning what we used to know versus like we know so much more now than we did then. You know, like obviously herbal medicine in the 1700s was not perfection or whatever, but there's when I read like historical books or what, you know, like someone has a fever and they're sick for 2 months and they recover, or you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
things
yeah.
like that used to happen, and now it's like to be sick for more than 2 days is like, ah, what's wrong?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm just curious, like the body's ability to heal, the ways we have of helping that along.
Mm-hmm.
And did that like disappear for a time and now it's
I love
back?
This question. Yeah. I'm a history nerd. I love this question so much. I collect books that are reproductions of basically like kitchen books starting when the printing press came out these are reproduction books. I don't have originals, are you kidding?
Yeah.
But I have reproductions of these books that are like how to run a kitchen, and you think it's going to be like cooking recipes, but it's really like how to tend to a family, how to tend to a household, and they're medicinal in nature as well. Undoubtedly, there is grandma knowledge that was lost, but not everywhere, not for everyone. And we're so lucky that we now can be a little bit eclectic in looking around and finding what we have for historic references and building that back up and really doing the work of translating. People knew so much. The more I learn about the past, the more I learn that people were just smart, clever, you know, bright, brilliant people with diverse ranges of emotions and thoughts and processes just like today. And they were so clever and so thoughtful. And they had so much science in the realms of trials and experimentation, not in the two variable way, you know, not like we do now, but they had so much hands-on knowledge and so much hands-on experience. They weren't in the dark like we sometimes think.
Yeah.
And there was a lot lost in the naturopathic lineage. But we're building that back in a medically and Western informed way. So I love holding sometimes multiple truths at the same time. Like I can see a person and know that from one perspective, they have too much heat. You know, maybe this is a historic way of looking at it, is like this person's too much heat. But then when I take their temperature, it is normal.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so you've got to do a little bit of internal translating and also understand that there are different ways of knowing. And I can know things through Western science and know things through an antiquated herbal lineage and hold them both to be true and not have to cram a maybe, you know, 16th century herbal understanding into a 21st century box.
Yeah.
So I'm working on that, and I love it. It's like a little puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. No, that's really great perspective. Yeah, I think I appreciate that there's that room is coming for these things. And even what you said about like that lush valley in between, mm-hmm. because it, even with, if I go back to the birth thing, you know, I had a home birth and then I birthed my fourth child in that same city. Mm. And I was at a freestanding birth center by then, okay. which was like blocks away from my house that insurance paid for.
Nice.
Like just openly, you know,
amazing.
Without
amazing. Like,
tricking
yeah.
them. I didn't trick them. Sorry. That's not true. But anyway, the more options, right,
mm-hmm.
the better. And then
yep.
I guess, yeah, doesn't that equal autonomy of choice?
Yes. One area of caution that's important for me to bring up kind of whenever I get an option is that when we're viewing Western medicine, we're using this like clinical thinking. When we're looking at longstanding herbal lineages from other cultures and we're kind of viewing this now through a Western lens, and we're being a little cautious not to try to cram that into Western way of thinking, we can see the historic value of these ways of doing things. But there is a caution that I'm going to call it like internet fake history.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to call it, but I will see people making new, using herbs. Here's a perfect example. Say someone is using an herb that was historically used topically. There is, you know, 600 years of documented use of someone using this herb topically. Someone on the internet says, it's anti-inflammatory, I'm going to put it in my morning shake. And everyone thinks, oh yeah, this is a historic herb. We all drink it in our morning shake now. Like that's not how we do it. If you're going to honor the truths of something's historical use, then you need to honor the truth of its historical context. And it almost gives people a false sense of security or safety when we're working with older herbs in new ways.
Sure.
And we just need to be a little cautious.
Well, it's kind of the both sides of the same coin of that herbs can be really powerful and medicinal,
yeah.
and herbs can be really powerful and medicinal,
yeah, absolutely.
Like
and
harmful if used in the wrong way or the wrong quantity, which is why it's important to have professionals.
Yes,
know
yes.
how to
Yes,
guide
so
you.
in my shop, Wild Rose Natural Medicine, I carry a lot of herbs that are tonics. And these tonics are often in the form of like oxymels or, you know, tonic herbs used as teas. These are so safe to the majority of people that they're a really lovely access point to start experimenting with herbs and learning their clinical uses. Without having high risks of drug interactions or high risks of interacting with other health conditions in a negative way. So they're like effective enough to start seeing benefit, but they're gentle and unreactive enough to not have to worry. It's just a really lovely, lovely entry point. And then I also carry like high quality, very, very concentrated spagyric tinctures. And like, no, you shouldn't start with that if you're just kind of guessing, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So it's trying to, it's good to start to familiarize yourself with some really nice, safe herbs and just start using those in practice and see what benefits and what challenges you come with that. I mean, you can have also, by the way, you can overdo it on a kitchen herb. If you don't think
sure.
you can overdo it on a kitchen herb, let me tell you. I did a project in my, while I was in school, we do like deep dive with herbs where we'll take an herb and we'll just use it in every single form as much as we can and then write about it and learn about it. Just a nice little like experimental thing that we do. And I chose cinnamon for one of mine.
Mm.
I don't even like cinnamon anymore. That's not true. I love a Christmas spiced pumpkin spice latte. I don't care. I love it. But I you can overdo it to the point where like your digestive system stops working or like, you know, like these are real effects. You can get very real effects from kitchen herbs when you start using them in more medicinal doses. So you should still make sure you do some research. And if anyone ever has a question about safety of an herb, you know, you can go to your resources. There's so many good books. I love Herbal Medicine from the Heart of the Earth by Cheryl Tilgner. That's a really nice resource. Matthew Wood makes a bunch of great books that are really lovely, and he's got some ties to the Midwest. It's really nice. I also carry a little lending library at the shop where there's just books that people can sit down and do their own deep dives. If they want to know if an herb's safe or not, they can start looking in the research and find out. So resources are available for you if you're getting into your era of dabbling.
Yeah. So, when you were just saying that, I was wondering, so tell me what you have access to as a professional naturopathic doctor versus what someone reading a book who decides to grow an herbal garden or whatever. Like, what is that? The leveling, like you said, leveling up was the term that you used. So
the first 2 years of a doctorate, whether you're going to be an MD or an ND, the first 2 years are understanding basically the entirety of human anatomy and physiology, both in the big picture structure and function way and in the like microscopic, you know, cellular function way. And I cannot over exaggerate how important that is into my understanding of when to use what herbs and why. Mm-hmm. When I look at someone and they tell me their story, I'm thinking of what body systems need support. That's kind of one of the differences between an MD and a naturopathic doctor is in the like typical like Western model, you go in for a condition and they have a treatment for that condition. Well, in naturopathic medicine, we definitely look at that as well. We take a little bit more time to step back and think like, what as a whole, maybe this person's tired, but like, are they digesting their food well? How's their digestion? How's their nervous system regulation? You know, what is their sleep like? We're looking both at the foundations for health and we're looking at body systems that might need additional supports.
Right.
So for sure that. After that, oh man, we have years of botanical medicine education. It's amazing. And I still feel like I'm just a constant, you know, you got to be a dedicated learner forever. I love it. It's really fun. And then we also learn extensive homeopathic medicine foundations and classical homeopathy. And some people are really drawn to that and some people are less drawn to that. And I understand why people feel both ways. And then I love like classical hydrotherapy, like Nipian hydrotherapy or German hydrotherapy. There's many lineages for using hot and cold waters and therapeutic baths, but I just love this. I love magnesium baths. I love wrapping people up in a cold sheet with wool blankets on top and waiting till their body heats up the cold sheet till it's warm again. This is old school medicine. This is like great grandma medicine. It's really interesting too. You know, I read historical takes differently about some of the institutions that we had. I am not at all saying that like old historic asylums were like good or cool in any sense. Don't get me wrong. But when we hear about people using like cold water baths or cold sheet wraps, it wasn't to punish people. The thinking there was that you're going to help them reset their nervous system, and it really does that. It's really soothing, and it's really lovely. So I love learning about all of those old modalities. We get a ton of that education and hands-on practice in the naturopathic education for that.
Yeah, great. So let's talk about your shop that you have here in Viroqua now. What brought you, did you come straight from the Seattle area?
Oh, yeah. My husband's an ecologist, a restoration ecologist, so we put all of our belongings in a dump truck and drove across the country.
Hopefully you had good weather.
We had tarps on top. We had bad weather, but we had tarps on top. It was fine. No, it was fine. We just made this move in the fall, and I'm just so happy to be back. My heart just really, like, thrives in this area. I feel like we're just in the land of, like, milk and honey. It's, like, so, like, lush and verdant and alive, and I also have that, like, deep Midwestern temperament that it is... It's hard for Seattle people to match that. They just don't, they don't have the, like, oh, yep, well, hey, yep. Kind of, you know. I bring the Wisconsin pretty strong. So,
yeah.
I'm happy to be back home.
Is your husband from the Midwest?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, oh, yep. He's from outside the Twin Cities.
Oh, good. Makes it easier. Yes. Trying to acclimate.
Yes, yes. We're actually between our families on a drive.
Oh, yeah. So my husband's from the Twin Cities, and I'm from the other side of Wisconsin.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, yeah, we're just so happy to be here. And I have, like, cousins all over in this area in the Driftless. Oh. And it's great. I've got family here as well. And Viroqua has something special. I haven't quite put my finger on it.
I think it's a lot of things.
It's a lot of things, but there's something special here that, yeah, like, I just love it. I came here because I love it. I have really fond memories of visiting here as a kid. And I felt really drawn to it, and I'm really, really happy to be here.
Yeah. And so did you know right away you were coming here, like, to open a shop? And yep, that was the plan? And
yep, yep. So I thought, oh, I'm going to take some time to rest. Medical school is a lot. I'm going to just rest, and then we'll see. And the first week we got here, I rented a space and opened my shop maybe a couple weeks later. It was bonkers. It was off the wall.
Was that because it was available and you were like, I have to jump on
I'm
this?
I'm just a project person.
Right.
And I had a vision, and I've been, like, chomping on the bit to, like, make this vision come to life. You know, I've had years and years just being like, as soon as I, you know, have my practice, I'm going to make it this way. I'm a very values-driven person. I wanted a values-driven practice. And I'm like, I want it to feel comforting. I want people to feel hospitality. I want it to feel beautiful. I want to bring art and love and, you know, all of this stuff back into medicine. And kind of bridge the gap, not only between Western medicine and holistic health, but between the, like, white-walled environment of a clinic and the, like, community familial way of feeling, like, held by people.
Yeah.
I wanted to bridge that gap. And that's part of why I have a physical space. I want people to be able to come in, feel comfortable. It's scary to talk to a doctor. If you've have trauma, like, capital T trauma, to try to decide that you want to tell someone your story again. Yeah. How do you vet that? So I wanted a place where people can come in, they can, like, actually get to know me,
right,
and, you know, maybe know how they feel and if they want to use this before spending their money. And I wanted to be a community resource. So I put the kettle on, I let people sit and have cups of tea, people come and use the resources, and I just love it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was actually going to ask you about that, like, what it, because it seemed to me, right, like, you're coming to a community to be a part of the community.
Yep.
And so for you, where does a naturopathic doctor fit in to the community?
That's a good question. I am honestly, I guess I can't put a name on it because I'm still learning where I fit in here. I sometimes want, you know, community to be something that's immediate, but I'm trusting that actually truly getting to know and trust people takes time, and I want people to let me know what they need from me as they find that they have a need or whatever from the space or from me. And I'm just learning how to be there for people here, which is a different community than I got my education in. I work out a little bit in the Amish community. I do house calls. I work in the shop. I treat people who can pay full amount of a cash-based practice. And I also see people who one day a week I do pay what you can with no minimum at all. And so I'm seeing different sides of our own community here, different facets, and I love each one differently, and I'm learning how to do my best and maintain who I am and hold my own boundaries, like we talked about at the beginning. I'm just growing into this space.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. I mean, it's so new. You haven't had your first, or you're in your first year.
And some ideas that I might have had, you know, you can't come in and push yourself onto a community. Viroqua is not some sort of like blank canvas here in the Driftless. It has its own personality. And so I'm just trying to meet you all where you're at. Whatever that is, I don't know yet.
Yeah.
And make friends and be a human and still, you know.
Right.
Like there's the times that I go to the knitting group down at Utopia, like that hits my heartstrings. I love it. These are the parts that I'm putting together for myself right now.
Right. I was curious if there's something, right, like I feel like we've all been trained as parents, let's say, like the only option for many of us, or we have insurance or whatever, is like our kid has an ear infection, we go to the medical clinic, throat, cold, I don't know, all the things. So people have to almost be told to seek you out, right? Like it's not something that anyway, like the hurdle's like a little higher.
Yeah.
Are there like entry points that you find?
Yeah, that's a really good, super interesting question. A lot of people come see me when they have had a chronic issue for a long time. They've had all the diagnostic workup. They have had the labs. They've had the tests. They've been given the options, and they're like, that didn't help. Now what? And that's a really hard place to be in first. Can we just acknowledge how hard that is? That's part of why I got into this medicine for myself, is I felt the realness of being stuck, truly. And it's a desperate place. And my job is to never take advantage of that and to just do the best job I possibly can. For me, that means doing a pay-what-you-can day so that anyone who actually really, really needs to access the care can. Because we all know that if you don't have a bunch of resources, there's a way more likely chance that you're going to be really struggling with some health issues as well, because those resources you might not have either to get out of that, right?
Yeah.
So I get a lot of people who are like, I've hit the wall with the other doctors and I don't know what to do. Yeah. Given our licensure situation right now, we are less of an acute care setting because we're not actually tied in to the medical system as we are. We're outside of it. We're only cash based. We can't give formal diagnoses. We can't legally, and just there's just boundaries to what we can do safely and legally. As that expands, we will have more opportunities for people to come in when they have acute situations. Right now, we don't have that. So it's mostly people who have diagnoses and are looking for more options. Or people who are like, man, I just can't put my finger on why I don't feel very good.
Right.
It's been forever. I can't remember feeling good. Or like, man, I can't remember being able to actually relax. For anxiety and depression, there are so many people who are looking for things in addition to counseling and therapy in that landscape between, or in a junction to, or in addition to pharmaceuticals. And I'm not at all anti-pharmaceutical. I want people to know that I see people whatever they're on and wherever they're at, and that's part of being a naturopathic doctor, is having the education to know what holistic health protocols are safe for people who have complex health conditions, who are on medications, etc. But there's so many people who are looking for the in-betweens, are looking for that lush valley of additional stuff. And people spend so much time trying holistic health things that they read about online with not enough information to do it in the most effective way. And that like hurts my heart because you have put, you're taking your money, you're taking your time, your energy, you're putting so much thought into it to make yourself like an herbal protocol or something. And sometimes you will find out that actually maybe it was ineffective because they didn't have the education to know how to do that in a way or to choose the right herbs for them. So I get a lot of people who have a vast knowledge of holistic health but are coming here for additional support so that when you use the finite resource that can be your personal energy to try something new, that we're trying the most, you know, best yield thing we can.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking because that's my mode. It's like, what can I do?
How can I
do this without? Because I got to believe there's like, you know, something that like, oh, is it a certain vitamin? Is it a certain, you know, like dietary intolerance? Or I don't know, like doing my own research. But it's nice to have a resource that you don't have to do your own spinning.
Yes.
Of like, for example, I'll give you my my own health. So like 3 years ago, I started having chronic migraines. And it's never really been a thing for me. And initially it was like, whatever, I'm tired, headaches are kind of my Achilles heel, but this was like becoming a thing.
It's different.
Yeah. And so, but when I look back now, it's been 3 years that I've been like trying things. I did go to the doctor. They tried a thing. It didn't really work. I don't have insurance, so whatever. But also, researching stuff online, I'm like, okay, I think it's that. And then even from the doctor, I got like these packets and handouts of all these headaches are so like
nebulous. Nebulous, yes.
Yeah. So so it's, I appreciate that I could come to you and be like, here's the thing, and actually have someone who's already done all of the research and could possibly give me something other than like a like really powerful drug that I don't want to have to take.
Yeah, and like this is a great example. Like, so for something like migraines or headaches, we'd want to, understanding that there are so many nuances within the world of both migraine and headache. But naturopathic doctors being trained to the level of primary care doctor, I'd be like, is this the first and worst headache like this you've ever had? So I know that you're not having an emergency situation. Yeah. Check. Okay, now that we can set that aside, looking at how someone's posture is and how their muscle tonicity is, and are their muscles getting everything that they need to be able to relax so that we're not getting any sort of like muscular contribution, and then looking at, you know, outside of posture, okay, we're also looking at foods and what foods could be triggers and what herbs could be triggers, and then what about, you know, lifestyle stuff and what have your stress levels been and how much movement do you get and what are your chemical exposures at home and what are you, and in trying to learn the whole landscape of what a headache is to the individual in front of you. And then using whatever resources that you decide as a pair are the right resources for this person. So it's not like every patient we say, okay, you're going to get a botanical formula, you're going to get a nutritional plan, you're going to go out to acupuncture, you're going to get massage. You know, we can't use everything for everyone. So finding out what's going to be the most high-yield thing that we can use with the person in front of us and trying to get progress that way. I also do craniosacral therapy because I find that to be so supportive in a lot of the pictures of people that, where there's nervous system dysregulation in there. But yes, so with these sorts of examples, we're really looking at the whole person.
Yeah, and all the
individualized
care.
Well,
I'd say too, the instead of just getting rid of the symptom, which is like, can I give you a powerful drug to get rid of your headache, you know, and doing what is it, because the fact that, let's say it's chronic, and I've narrowed mine down to kind of know what it is, but I'm sure I'll be talking to you at some point about it. But anyway, that basically, like, there's options other than a powerful drug to treat the thing. That there's like your nerves, body systems, like you said, environmental things, stress.
Yes, and how can, in when we're coming from this perspective, this like individualized what needs support. We're trying to reduce barriers to health. So maybe the stress is a barrier, or maybe like the inability to have time to cook a nutritious dinner or something is a barrier, you know, whatever it may be. We're trying to reduce those barriers, increase access to like good foundational ways to tend to yourself. And often that's addressing in the end more than just the headache.
Yeah.
This is something that's trying to spur on your own vitality, spur on your own body's ability to heal, and support you so you feel better, like in your body and in your, you know, in your brain space. So, yeah. You know, stress and anxiety, I just want people to feel reprieve if they can have that.
Yeah. Great. Would you like to offer up how people can be in touch with you? And
sure.
Where your shop is and
yeah.
stuff?
So the shop is on Main Street in Viroqua, Wisconsin. We are right next to the radio station where we're recording this very moment.
It's a short commute for you this morning.
Yep, and also right next to Gary's Rock Shop, which is a local staple. So it's Wild Rose Natural Medicine on Main Street in Viroqua. There's also a website, wildrosenaturalmedicine.com. Both the phone number and our email, info@wildrosenaturalmedicine.com. You can reach out any way you like or come into the shop and say hi. The shop is open Thursdays through Sundays, so basically an extended weekend, because the rest of the time is when I do my one-on-one care with folks.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for coming in, and welcome to the community.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks again to Dr. Gustafson for coming in for that conversation. I really enjoyed it. All right, everybody. I hope wherever you are, spring is springing. I suppose if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, then fall is on the way, and maybe you're enjoying that too. But here, the sun is out. Bulbs are starting to pop up from underground, and we can all feel that palpable sense that spring is just about here. So I hope you get out and get to enjoy that. All right, till next week, everybody. Here is Elise Nicole. Take care.
In this world we walk together.